searching for happiness, this the way to go. You say you want peace, this the way to go. If you trying to see Jesus, this the way to go. We all wanna live, this the way to go.
The show,
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 this the way to go.
The show.
You are now listening to the Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to The Way to Go.
Contrary to popular belief, the Bible reveals and teaches about many black people in Scripture. Some were evil and some were righteous. I believe that young people, young adults, need to know and understand truths about black presence and the heritage of black excellence that is found in the Bible. Would y'all agree with that? Sadly, many people, corporations, religious leaders, and groups twist the scripture and teach incorrect doctrine to deceive the masses about black presence in the scripture. Now you see here we have a picture of what they call white Jesus. Now when you look in scripture, Jesus don't look nothing like that. Now whether he black, white, purple, or orange, I'm just glad he died for my sins. But if we're going to communicate people in scripture, let's just be honest about what the Bible says, right? Now, if we study and rightly divide the word of God, we will find great wisdom and truth about black people in the Bible. Very important. If we're going to talk about black folk, let's just stick to the Bible. Right? Why? Psalm 33 and 4 says, "For the word of the Lord is right. His work is done how? In truth." So what when we consider God's word is right and is true. Y'all mighty quiet. God's word is right and it's true. And it's just sad how so many people and organizations manipulate the word. The Mormons, they manipulate the word and have said black folk are cursed, but that ain't what the words say. Hebrew Israelites say black folk is God. That's just not true. Let's just stick to what the Bible says. Would y'all agree? All right. Today, we're going to learn about a black woman from Shunem, a black woman from Shunem. Now, I've told you, and you understand that names in scripture are very what? Very important. Names in scripture carry meanings. Shunem means double resting place. Double resting place. And of course, rest in scripture has to do with peace and being perfect or mature. Shunem was a place that when it was brought up, it was known for two things, peace and perfection. Now, this is important biblically, young folk, because when a person comes into Christ, Jesus gives us rest. Jesus gives us rest. Yeah, when you look at Matthew 11, 28, and I have it here. Look at what Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28. Read it with me. Come to me, all you who, help me, labor and are heavy laden. And what will Jesus give you? And I will give you rest. So when a person comes into Christ, they're going to have rest. Jesus will cause you and I to mature. He'll also prosper us. He said in John 10, 10, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Yeah, if I'm in Jesus, I'm going to have rest. How many Jesus has changed your life for the better? That's right. So again, Shunem means double rest. Now, this is important, young people. Shunem was in Canaan. Shunem was in Canaan. Many of us know Canaan as the promised land, a land that was flowing with milk and honey. Let me show it to you. Y'all turn with me to Joshua 14. Let's go to Joshua 14. Okay. What does Shunem mean? Why y'all turning? Double rest. Where was Shunem? In Canaan. All right, here we go. Joshua 14 and verse 1. These are the areas which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan. So here you have Joshua explaining the different territories that the people of God would be possessing, that they inherited in Canaan. Okay? Let's go to Joshua 19. And so from verse 1 all the way to 19, he's just talking about the different lands in Canaan. Joshua 19, and look at verse 17 and 18. The fourth lot came to Issachar for the children of, help me, Issachar, according to their families. And their territory went to Jezreel and included Chesloth and, what's that last one? Shunem. So where was Shunem? In Canaan. There you go. Where was Shunem? Where was Shunem? In Canaan. Canaan, the word Canaan means heads of black or black faces. That's what Canaan means. Heads of black or black faces. Canaan was populated by black folk. Dark black folk. Black faces. Now, let's go back to the beginning and let me show you how Canaan, or where Canaan came from. This is very important. Are y'all following me so far? Okay. Shunem means what? Double rest. Where was Shunem? In Canaan. What does Canaan mean? Black faces or heads of black. Okay, let's go to Genesis. Now, many of us know who was the first man that God created from the dust of the ground? Adam. Adam was the first man that God created. From the dust of the ground, he made him, and then he breathed into his nostrils, and he became a living soul. And we see that in Genesis 2 and 7. Adam, the word Adam means red dirt, letting us know that Adam was a man of color. Adam was a man of color. He was from the dirt. That's what Adam means, red ground or red dirt. So we know Adam married Eve. They had children, Cain and Abel. and they had children. Adam and Eve had more children, and their family grew, and offspring happened. And then over generations, the world was populated. But then, many historians say between when Adam was created and Noah, about 9 generations or 1,600 years. When you read it in the Bible, it's like a few days, right? But it's generations took place. So in between when Adam was created and Noah was born, it was about 1,600 years. So in that time, because Adam sinned, man began to practice sin, right? And it came a time after generations of sin, the Bible says, in Genesis 6, violence and wickedness, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that the Bible says every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So the Lord decided to destroy the earth by flood of water. That's why he decided to destroy it and start over. He said, you know what? Man is violent, wicked, sinful, and every thought and intent of their heart is evil continually. He said, no, this is, I got to start over. The Bible says that he relented was sorry that he had created man. And so he said, Noah, I'm going to destroy the earth by flood. I want you, because you are righteous, to get your family, and I want you to build an ark, and I want y'all to go into the ark and get every animal that I created, 2 by 2, and put them on this ark. He said, because I'm going to flood the earth with water. And so Noah built the ark. Y'all remember the story, right? So Noah built the ark and flooded the earth. It took 7 days, the Bible says, for the earth to fill with water. 7 days. After 7 days, water stayed on the earth for 150 days. It was so much water, the Bible says, that all the mountains and hills that were on the earth were covered in water. That's how much water was on the earth. This is in the Bible. And everything that had nostrils to breathe was dead. Everything. Except Noah, his family, and the animals that God created that were on the ark. So after 150 days, then the water began to subside. And then the Bible says that Noah and his family exited the ark. Y'all still with me? So, this is important. After the flood, guess what God had to do? He had to repopulate the earth. Why? Everybody was dead. He started with the first Adam. Man committed sin and messed up. God started over. Now, the second time God destroyed the earth is not going to be by water. It's going to be by fire. And just like the only the righteous were saved then, the same at the end of time, the righteous will be saved. And so now God has to populate the earth. Y'all notice, if you will, Genesis 9. And go to 18. I want to show y'all this. Y'all still with me? Okay, very important. Genesis 9. In 18. So now they're coming off the ark. God got to repopulate the earth. So let's see what he's going to do. Now the sons, verse 18, now the sons of Noah who went out of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. What were Noah's 3 sons' name? And Japheth. Ham was the father of Canaan. See how the Bible brought that out? Ham was the father of Canaan. Verse 19. These three were the sons of Noah, and from these the whole earth was populated. So when you are taught in school that the earth was populated or we come from monkeys, that's a lie. Because according to Genesis 9, 17, and 18, the whole earth was populated from the sons of Noah. Now, who was Canaan's father? Ham. What was his daddy's name? Ham. Ham's name means black, dark. That's what Ham means, which helps us to understand how Canaan got his name. Because he was looking like who? His daddy. Now, the other two were different complected, but Ham was the dark-skinned one. Ham was the dark. Isn't it amazing how the Bible brought that out? Canaan's father was Ham. Ham's name means dark. Canaan's name means heads of black or darkness as well. Which brings us to the nameless black woman found in Shunem. So now we understand. This Shunammite woman was a black woman. And in scripture, she's not the only black Shunammite. Abishag in 1 Kings chapter 1. And also Solomon's wife in the Song of Solomon, chapter 1, around through verse 1 through verse 6, we see another Shunammite woman who was dark-skinned. Matter of fact, she said she was dark and lovely. Shunammite people were dark, black folk. Woo! Look at somebody say, black is beautiful. That's right. Canaan was a land of dark people. And the text reveals numerous traits that she possessed that young people should likewise possess, especially if you're black. Because when you look at this woman's life, this woman carried herself in an excellent manner. Excellent manner. When I look at her, I see black excellence. That's what I see. And the text gives various traits about her that I want to deal with this morning, and then I'm going to be done. Y'all ready to learn some more? How many are learning so far? All right. So let's look at these traits of this Shunammite woman that are so important. They're still relevant in our day and time. Let's start in 2 Kings 4 and verse 8. 2 Kings 4 and 8. And it reads, now it happened one day that Elijah went to Shunem, where there was a notable woman. First trait, this black woman was notable. What does that mean? She was a prime example for others. She had greatness on the inside of her. She was somebody that operated in excellence. As a young black man, as a young black woman, especially who fears God, likewise, you and I, we should carry ourselves like we know we got greatness on the inside of us. We should carry ourselves with excellence. How many know you special? Lord have mercy. I didn't get too much response. By a show of hands, how many know you special? Yeah, that's right. And it's not because of we so great. It's because of who our God has called us to be. He said we're a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. These are things that he has said about us, but it's up to us to think it, talk it, and walk it. Carry yourself as someone who is great. And it's not, again, because of our own works. It's because God, who he is, and what his word says about us. Lord, have mercy. Look at somebody and say, I've got greatness in me. And that's the first thing I want you to see. No doubt this woman had self-confidence about herself. No doubt this woman had high self-esteem about herself. You don't ever let somebody belittle you or you belittle yourself. You got to realize you got greatness on the inside of you. Same verse. There was a notable woman. Look at this. And she persuaded him, the prophet, to eat some food. Second trait that this black woman had, young folk, is that she was a persuasive woman. She knew how to influence folk. She knew how to talk to folk to get them to do certain things. Sadly, what's so messed up sometimes is many young folk, and even sometimes in the church, instead of being to the point to where many young folk can influence others, oftentimes you see so many young folk allowing themselves to be influenced to do the wrong thing. But no, this woman knew how to talk. She knew how to use her words to persuade Elijah to do something that he normally didn't do. Elijah didn't hang with a lot of folk, but she could talk this prophet into coming to staying at her home that she built for him. And see, you and I got to be the same way. You got to know how to persuade folk, talk to folk, influence folk to do certain things in life and not let folk persuade or influence you to do stuff you know you have no business doing. Instead of them influencing you to go with them, you influence them to go with you. Instead of them influencing you to think like them, talk like them, and dress like them, you should be influencing them to get like you. Yeah. What caused Eve to do what she had no business doing? The serpent was beguiling her. He influenced her. Y'all remember Eve? She messed up. And she partook of the fruit that she knew God told her not to eat of, right? Why did she do it? Who influenced her? The serpent. Guess what Jesus taught? Jesus taught, I'm sending you out in the world as sheep among wolves. Therefore, be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. Even Jesus taught that we need to be persuasive or influential. Jesus taught that, young folk. We don't need to let folk that we don't even know on the internet or TV influence us to be like them. These folk don't know us, and we shouldn't allow them to lead us astray. You just met somebody at the mall, at school, or on the job, and they got so much power to influence you to do something you know you ain't got no business doing? What does that say about you? No, we should have the ability to influence folk to do the will of God. Am I right about it? Yeah. I heard this one preacher. And he said something I agree with. He said, every conversation you have is an opportunity for you to work on how you communicate. Every conversation you have the opportunity to learn how to talk to folk. You have to learn how to use silence sometime to influence folk. You got to learn how not to laugh sometime to influence folk. You got to learn how to be straight-faced and tell folk the truth and allow that to influence folk. Because folk will be like, well, why you ain't laughing? Because I don't think that's funny. Well, why you ain't saying nothing? Because that's stupid. And I ain't going along with that. That cuts folks' heart. Why you ain't dancing with us? Because that's evil. Every time we have to communicate is an opportunity. It's been probably 15 years, but the great Bishop L.D. Skinner came one year and taught at a marriage seminar, something I'll never forget. And this for married folk and grown folk, but it impacted me. He told spouses in the marriage seminars, the name of his teaching was How to Turn a Red Light Green. That was the name of his teaching, How to Turn a Red Light Green. What was he saying? As a spouse, you have to know how to be persuasive. And I'm going to leave it at that. But bottom line, young folk, in life, you got to know how to talk to folk. You got to know how to talk to folk. You got to know how to talk to your teacher that you feel don't like you to get her to help you with a grade you're struggling with. Look, Mix Crabtree, I just didn't give my best performance. I didn't give my best performance on this test. And I know you said you don't offer extra credit, but I am really serious about my grades. Can you help me? Can you help me? Or would you help me? I went to get something. You know why it don't work? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is. We can't think like that. We got to think, oh, this going to work. It's going to work. I went to get some work done on my wife's car. And the man told me, he showed me the computer. He said, this the price right here. And he didn't laugh. He said, this the price. And he said, what you want to do? I looked at him. I said, can you give me a better price? Then I called. I said, no, I know you can. Would you please give me a better price? And he asked me, he said, are you military? I could have lied, but I was like, no, I ain't military. I said, y'all got clergy? He said, no. But next thing I know, he just going down the list, just taking money off the bill. He took off almost $100 off the bill because of what I had said. I can't tell you how many times I go shopping and I just ask the person at the cash register, hey, you got any coupons back there or any way you can give me a discount on this? And sometimes they'll be like, have you downloaded the app? I don't want to download no app. That's just too much. Can you still be a blessing to me? Well, yeah, let me go ahead and scan this for you. You got to know how to be persuasive. You got to know how to be persuasive, young folk. You got to know how to talk to folk. Death in life is in the power of the practice. Practice. Practice on your friends. Practice. I'm serious. Practice. And it's not about getting over. It's just about learning how to be persuasive. Y'all learning? Oh, Lord. Let's go to verse 9. So what were the first two traits of this black woman? She was notable. Secondly, she was persuasive. Thirdly, let's go to verse 9. And she said to her husband, look now. I know. This is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. This was a knowledgeable black woman. She said, I know. This woman had knowledge. She had awareness, discernment. We cannot afford to be young, black, and ignorant. You can't afford to be that in 2022. No, in 2022, you and I gotta have some knowledge. And the best type of knowledge to have is divine knowledge. This woman was able to discern. This ain't no jackleg preaching. This is a real holy man of God. She had knowledge. And there are things you need to know in life in order to be productive, young folk. You need to know about the things of God as well as the people of God. She knew what a true prophet was. She had knowledge. And you and I, again, young folk, you got to have knowledge. And we know the primary source of knowledge is going to come from God's shepherd. Jeremiah 3:15, and I will give you shepherds according to my heart, and they will feed you with knowledge and understanding. When I come to church, give me some things I need to know God. Give me some things I need to know about life, about money, about myself, how to fight, how to prosper. Whatever I need, God, give it to me. I hunger for it. I want it. Why? Because if we hunger and thirst for righteousness or knowledge, what will God do? He'll fill us. Young folk got to be knowledgeable. You got to know how to pray in these days, young folk. You got to know how to pray. You got to know how to talk to folk. You got to know your Bible. It's just so much you need to know. You got to know these things. And so occasionally, you got to check yourself. Am I really getting knowledge when I go to church? Or am I coming in lacking and leaving lacking? Am I putting into action the knowledge that I'm getting? We have to be, help me, knowledgeable. We have to be knowledgeable. Right? How many would agree? Yeah. All right, let's see if y'all with me. What's these traits of this black woman? The first one, she was what? She was notable. Secondly, persuasive. Third, knowledgeable. Oh, it's going to get a little bit more touchy now. Here we go. Verse 10. This black woman said, please let us make a small what? Upper room on the wall. Let us put a bed for him there, a table, a chair, a lampstand, so it will be whenever he comes to us, he can what? Turn in there. This black woman was respectful. She was talking to her husband, and the first thing out of her mouth she said is, please. Grandma and them taught us how to be respectful. You don't call folk by their first name. Now, some parents say, you're going to say yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. But then some parents, they may not enforce that, but they may say, look, you don't answer me no, yeah. Bottom line, they teaching that we should have respect. And this black woman was respectful. But look at the society we live in, and especially shows with black women on. Just think about the shows that come on TV that feature black women. Most of them, they have black women on there that's just very, somebody say ratchet. They just lacking respect. Look at my notes. To respect, to honor. The Bible teaches that we should respect elders, preachers, parents, spouses, authorities, and even yourself. But above all, we should respect who? We should respect God. Paul was so serious, he told one church, he said, look, wives need to see and make sure that they respect their husband. Boy, I'm telling you, at least some men I know, it's just, you know, if a woman show disrespect, that's just something that just ain't cool. But we can flip it, right? Yeah, a man should be respectful to a woman. You don't respond to somebody calling you a B. You don't even play like that. Shut up, B. You don't even get mad because you're like, he ain't talking to me. He ain't talking to me. I ain't that. No, you respect yourself. And you command respect from other folk. Ooh, y'all ain't saying that. Young couples is important, especially in them first 5 years or so. You establish respect amongst one another. You know, you as a wife, you just don't tell your husband, you ain't nothing, you stupid. Oh, Lord. It's going to be a problem because over time, he's going to be like, this woman does not respect me. Brothers, you can't be like, you just sorry. Oh, look at you. You just, ugh. You just, no, respect that woman. You married. You don't like what you see? Fix it up. But show some respect. Honor. Sometimes you go through a thing, young folk. Old folk, you say you start smelling yourself. You know what I'm saying? You go through something. You know, you get a little taste of something. And you start feeling yourself. They say you're getting a little mannish. Getting a little man. What done happened? Oh, they done got a little bit. Yeah, boy. You're feeling yourself. Now y'all ain't talking to me. So then you feel like you don't need to respect mom and daddy no more. You feel like you're grown now. Ooh, my audience ain't helping me. But I know I'm telling the truth. You know what? I've been there. I gotta ask y'all something. Y'all help me. Look at something I say. Is this respectful? Young folk, we gotta be respectful in our day and time. And when we see celebrities, family members, and others as being disrespectful, we don't idolize them folk. We don't emulate or imitate them folk. You don't be to the point to where you talk about, oh, that's cute, but you be like, that is disrespectful. No, 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 it can't be both. Y'all see what I'm saying? I got to show y'all some examples. So last night on the NBA All-Star, Kid Cudi was on the intro. They let him do the intro to the NBA All-Star, and this man come out there singing, I Want It, in makeup. Is that respectful as a man? Now y'all don't want to talk to him. No. He had on fingernail polish, eyeshadow, and he known for wearing dresses and stuff. But they was real smooth. I told Teresa, I said, you see that? He got on makeup. She said, I didn't see it. I had to pull it up, show her. I rewound the TV. I said, look, he got on makeup. That's not something respectful that we should do as a man, let alone a black man. Recently, Riri, or whatever they call, showing off her pregnancy with her boyfriend, ASAP Rocky. Walking around, taking pictures, basically naked, showing her little belly with her pregnancy. Looking at these pictures, is that something respectful? Now, some would say, that's cute, but how can you be... When you go into the Bible, listen, these folk had this baby in sin. When you look in the Bible, young folk, in the book of Matthew, when Joseph was engaged to Mary, he found out she was pregnant. And the Bible says in Matthew 3 that he thought to put her away secretly. He said, man, I can't show you off in public and you done got pregnant and we not even married. An angel from the Lord had to come to Joseph and say, hey, we know what you're thinking, but what she has conceived is of the Holy Spirit. See, the Bible teaches certain things that happen, young folk. It is shameful. But the Bible calls folk that boast in their sins boasters. No, this ain't respectful. But look at the society we in. It's pushed to the front and said, this is beautiful. This is wonderful. Y'all looking at me like I'm from another planet. Is this respectful? It's some things that we may do, it should be considered shameful. You got locked up and you bragging about it? When did that become cool? You made money selling drugs? When did that become come cool. Last week at the Super Bowl, Mary J. Blige, 51 years old, 51, at the Super Bowl, shaking in her drawers. It's an outfit, but that's basically just, thank you. Is that respectable? No. If your mama was doing this, your mama. Now just imagine your mama in some boots like that, in some drawers, shaking and dropping. Is that respectable? We would not want to see First Lady Baker come to service like that. Mr. Shaq, we wouldn't know. These grown women, right? Miss Tequila, we don't know. Y'all know she 51. If you want to do that, do it at home. Them first two pictures, I was like, she too old for that. She too old for that. She almost somebody grandmama age. She is. But everybody was like, man, she was the bomb. She did. You even had so-called gospel stations talking about how wonderful her performance was. That ain't respectful. The black women in scripture were totally different than what we see. Or shall I say, some of the black women that we see in scripture were totally different. And this would trip me out. Kiara Shears said her favorite singer time and time again is Mary J. Blige. She even sings some of her songs. She remakes and sings. Is that respectful? For a praise and worship leader to say your favorite singer is Mary J. Blige? Am I Bible? Help me ask somebody, say, is that respectable? You have to remember, when you leave your house, carry yourself in a respectful manner. Treat folk with respect. Verse 10. Let's go back to verse 10. 2 Kings 4. This black woman, I'm telling y'all, this is excellent. Am I right about it? This woman was on it. 2 Kings 4 and 10. Please let us make a small upper room. She want to do some construction. Let us put in a bed, table, chair, lampstand. So it will be whenever he comes to us, he can turn in. This black woman was generous. This was a generous black woman. Asked her husband, baby, can we just make another room? We want to be a blessing to the man of God. Generous. Can we add on to the house to help this true man of God? Young folk, we don't need to be stingy. Don't need to be stingy. When God has blessed you, you and I should in turn be excited about being a blessing. Don't be stingy in life. Don't go out to eat and work the waiter or the waitress. Spend $35, $40, and give them a dollar. No, be generous. Be a blessing to folk. Woo, y'all didn't say that. Be a blessing to folk. Be generous to folk. And here is a secret, especially in the text. She was being a blessing to her prophet, to her man of God. Look at what Proverbs, y'all turn to Proverbs 11. I try to break the stigma when me and my wife go out to eat. You know, it's been said for so long that black folk don't tip good. I try to make it a point that when we get a good waitress or what have you, even if they fall a little short, I really try to be a blessing. Because I don't want folk to have that mindset that all black folk are not givers. No. So I try to be a blessing to folk. I'm going to share something. I don't even know what she is in here, but I was so impressed. I had never in my life seen this, and it just really motivated me even the more. And I hope she don't mind me saying this. Well, I'm not going to put her name on it. Let's just do it like that. But I met one person in my life, one person, that on her birthday, she give folks gifts. I said, that's a generous black woman. On her birthday, she make it her business to be a blessing to others. Now, I'm not telling you she don't accept gifts and she don't go out and get her own self gifts, but I learned one thing she does is she gives other folks gifts on her birthday. Man, when I saw that, I said, Lord, I ain't never seen nobody do that right there. I said, never. And it just really impressed me about how much God loves a cheerful giver. I'm not telling you that's what you got to do, but I'm just sharing you that testimony because you not only have generous black women in scripture, you got them in our day and time. Am I right about it? All right. Look at Proverbs 11:25. Y'all still in the house? All right, it says the generous soul, look at this secret, will be made rich. Generous folk are blessed. When you and I give, God is going to help us to be productive in every area of our life. That's why it's important to make sure that you are not stingy. You are not a thief. Bring God what He asks for, and try to be a blessing to folk in life. Why? Because according to this verse, generous folk will be made rich. I thought y'all would be excited about that. It's a good secret right here. Y'all see it? Proverbs 11:25. Read it with me. The generous soul will be made rich. It's a promise. And I believe this woman understood that. Let's slide down to verse 16 and 17. We're getting ready to close. All right, let's see if y'all still on it. This is our last one. I done gave you five so far. How did this woman demonstrate excellence? She was notable. Secondly, she was persuasive. Third, she was knowledgeable. Fourth, respectful. Fifth, generous. Last one, verse 16. Then he said, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son. And she said, no, my Lord, man of God, do not lie to your maidservant. But the woman did what? Conceived and bore a son when the appointed time had come, of which Elisha had told her. Final trait of this black woman, she was a faith walker. She was a faith walker. She believed her prophet. He called her into the doorway of the house and said, you know what? You're going to have a child this time next year. It was such a rhema word. It was such close to her heart that she said, prophet, please don't lie to me. Don't play. He said, no, you're going to have a child. You're going to embrace a child this time next year. And so the text says at the appointed time that the prophet spoke, it happened. What does that tell us? She believed the prophet. For 8-9 months, she held on to that word. She held on to what was prophesied to her, preached to her, and guess what? It happened. That's how we need to be as young black men and young black women. We need to walk in God's word. When the prophets say it, we believe it and know that it's going to manifest in our life. This woman was a faith walker. And that's what God is calling us to be this year. He's calling young folk to be faith walkers. When I give you a word, Baker and the congregation, I'm expecting you to walk therein. And if you believe your prophet, oh, Lord, guess what's going to happen? You're going to prosper. That's 2 Chronicles 20 and 20. If you believe your prophet, you shall prosper. So every week I'm coming in getting something that's going to help me to prosper. I just got to walk in it just like this woman did. She got that word and walked in it. She kept hoping in that word, expecting that word, and guess what? It happened. And I'm letting you know, young folk, if you do the same thing, it's going to happen for you. Your marriage will change for the better. Your money will change for the better. Your life will change for the better if you and I do just like this woman did. Trust that revealed word. Just walk therein. No way you can stay unhappy if you're walking in the word. No way you can stay depressed if you're walking in the word. No way God is not going to meet your needs if you're walking in the word. Just carry that word out. God going to take you and I through some things, but in the end, he going to manifest what he promised, because all of the promises of God in him are yes and amen. And so when you look at this black woman from Shunem, you can't help but see excellence all across the board. You can't help but see that this black woman had it going on. And we should pattern our life after her as well. How many see black excellence in these verses right here by a show of hand? I'm going to stop right there. Let's give God a hand clap for the text. The topic.
Yeah, yeah. You say you're searching for happiness. This the way to go. You say you want peace. This the way to go. If you're trying to see Jesus, this the way to go. We all want to live. This the way to go. The show. 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 This the way to go. The show.
You are now listening to the Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to the Way to Go. Thank you for listening to today's message. Please be sure to stop by Pastor Baker's website. Go to www.jeromeabaker.com. Until next time, remember, Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You just need to know the way to go.